Amen. This morning, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. The title of my message is Developing a Fruitful Mind. Developing a Fruitful Mind. And I think it's very important for us to be able to talk about this because if we said that this is a year of fruitfulness, and you'll notice that all my messages this year have been around fruitfulness. It is not perchance, it's not just because I don't have any other thing to talk about. I have so many other messages I would love to share. But I find that the Holy Spirit keeps on leading me month by month to talk more about fruitfulness and even talk about the things that you already know and the ones that you don't know. Because I believe that God wants us as a church, as individuals, to really enter into this thing. Amen? And so this morning, I just want to share with you some of the things that will help you to develop a fruitful mind. In reality, I'll be touching on the spiritual as well as the natural, if I use that word. And some of the things I'll be sharing, you probably know it. Some of you practice it, some of you know it, but you don't do it. But my prayer is that as you listen, you will have an understanding and a better understanding, if you don't practice it yet, of why you ought to. Now, we said the fruitful mind. You are probably aware, and I'm sure everybody knows that, I hope, that your mind plays an important role or part in your life. You know, a lot has been written, a lot has been said, a lot has been concluded about the mind, but it is one area that still baffles mankind. You know, it's one area that scientists cannot yet fully understand. You know, it's interesting because you can bring two people that grew up under the same circumstance, brothers and sisters, even twins, you can put them together, get them to go through the same experience, the same challenges, the same thing. Their reaction and the way they will behave under those situations will be different. You can have two people in the same church listening to the same messages, worshiping the same God, praying to the same God, and when they go through similar situations, in fact, it can be exactly the same situation, the way they act or behave will be different. And you find out that one of the major things that makes this happen is the mind. You see, your mind can make the difference between your success and your failure in life. Your mind can make the difference between you achieving your potential or you living an average life or a life of mediocrity. Your life or your mind can make the difference between fruitfulness in your life and not being productive as you ought to be productive. You'll find out that the Bible understands this. That's why in the book of Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says that, for as a man thinks, so is he. So it means that the way you think determines what you become. You find that the way you think, your mind, for example, if you look at the story of the Israelites, when they got to the edge of the promised land, they were meant to enter the promised land, what happened? It was their mind that stopped them from entering when they should have entered. Your mind will make you think that you are less of a person than the person sitting next to you. Your mind will make you have an inferiority complex. Your mind will make you think that you cannot do the things that God has given you the ability and capabilities to do. Your mind has a lot of impact in what you become. You know, if you were to do a search on the internet, I'm sure you come up with loads of things talking about the power of the mind. There is a lot of power that the mind holds. I took the time to just look at the dictionary definition of what the mind has been defined as. And it describes the mind, the dictionary describes the mind as that element or part, or substance, or process that reasons, that thinks, that feels, that wills, that perceives, that judges. So it is that part of you that perceives, which may not be necessarily be true. It is that part of you that reasons, that thinks. It is your intellect. It is your intelligence. It is your understanding. That's what is described as the mind. And you find out that a lot of people don't pay attention to this area. Whereas it is very important. In fact, I could almost say that your mind determines almost 50% of what you are today or more. Or is what has determined. Are you listening to me this morning? A lot of things happen in the mind of people. And you find out that battles are won or lost in the mind before they really happen in reality. You win the battle in your life, in your mind, before it becomes manifest in your life. You see, the mind is a battlefield. And you find out that those that lose the battle in their mind have already lost the battle in life. Those that are unable to overcome the battle in their life will find it difficult to overcome in real life. And you find out that the battlefield of the mind is such that if you don't win that battle, it is difficult for you to be fruitful. Years ago, I struggled because I had a low self-esteem. And it was my mind that gave me that low self-esteem. It wasn't that you couldn't tell if you see me. Because, you know, the way you stand and carry yourself. And there are a lot of people out here this morning that are the way I feel or used to be. And they have low self-esteem, but you cannot tell. But that low self-esteem is in the mind. And what used to happen is I could not become what God had called me to become because I felt I could not do it. And because of that, I was not being fruitful. The fruitfulness that ought to come out of my life was not happening because I was not fruitful in my mind. Am I speaking to you this morning? You see, the mind can deceive and make people do or think in a certain way. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it says that, let no one deceive himself. A lot of people deceive themselves because they do not understand that there's something called the fruitfulness of your mind. Am I speaking? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, let no one deceive himself. That's talking about not thinking about yourself much more than you are. But in reality, you can take the converse. The Bible also says in Galatians 6, 3, it says, for if anyone deceives himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But you can take the other side of it. And deceiving yourself or being deceived. Don't you say deceiving yourself? It is the mind that deceives people. And unless you become fruitful in your mind, it is difficult for you to be fruitful in reality. It is difficult for you to be fruitful in life. You see, my emphasis this morning is not so much on how the mind can deceive, but how we can make our minds more fruitful. The things we can do, the things we ought to do, to make us more fruitful in our mind. You see, the power of a fruitful mind is unlimited. It will amaze you that once you begin to understand and tap into what God has put in your mind and become fruitful in that area, then you are unlimited in the things you can achieve in life. In fact, non-Christians, you know, all these new agers or management consultants or what, they call it positive thinking. And they say that just think and visualize yourself doing certain things and you do it. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not here to motivate you. Those are motivational speakers. I'm here to transform your life. And my job is to do that through the Bible. A lot of the things they say is gotten from the Bible, but they don't know that. Amen? And you find out if you can look into the Word of God and understand that positive thinking in quotes, then you can become that thing that God has ordained for you to become. You see, a fruitful mind has the potential to produce abundant results. But this does not come naturally. I found out that a lot of people are not fruitful in their mind because it is not necessarily natural for everyone. For example, some people have a natural voice, nice voice, and some people need to train their voices in order to be able to sing. The same way with the mind, some people, in quotes, are fruitful by nature in their mind. But some people need to train, but you can train your mind. Let me use another example. Just the way you train your eyes, some people, when they see opportunities, they don't recognize it. But you can train your eyes to recognize business opportunities, to recognize certain kinds of opportunities, if you train your eyes the proper way. Now, the same way your mind can be trained to become fruitful, and that is what I want to talk about, to you about this morning. How to develop your mind. How to develop a fruitful mind. You see, a trained mind will increase your capacity. A trained mind will increase your productivity in most areas of your life. And the first thing I want to talk about that would help you to develop a fruitful mind is what I call meditation. Meditation. You see, you can develop a fruitful mind through meditation on the Word of God. I emphasize on the Word of God. Because a lot of people, a lot of religions meditate. But meditation on the Word of God will help you to develop a fruitful mind. In the book of Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, you know, 2 weeks ago I spoke about, I shared on Psalm, the keys to fruitful living, or to a fruitful life, I beg your pardon. And I based it on Psalm 1. But if you look at Psalm 1, in verse 2, it says something. It talks about the blessed man. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it goes something, it says, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then it goes on after the meditation, he said, after the meditation, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruits in its season. And its leaf does not wither. But it first started with what they should not do. And then it goes on to what it should do. Before talking about the fruit that comes from the doing. Am I making sense? So, that talks about meditation. Get this. You need to get this. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says something. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but in it you shall meditate day and night, for then you shall be prosperous, and then for then you shall have good success. It says you shall meditate on the book. What is the book? The book, the Word of God. Meditation on the Word of God will make you to be fruitful in your mind. Meditation on the Word of God will cause fruitfulness in the mind, and then for the fruitfulness to come forth physically. You see, meditation takes you from just reading and studying to inscribing the word in your heart. Meditation takes you from just reading to really believing. You know that when you read the word, there's a difference between reading it and really believing and understanding it. Oh, is somebody listening to me this morning? Get this. Meditation brings illumination into your spirit and understanding into your mind. When you meditate on the Word of God, what it does is it takes you from just reading a story. It takes you from just history. It takes you from just studying, and it takes you into the realm of relevance. Let me use an example. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, the Bible says something. It says, remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that gives you the power to make wealth or to get wealth. And then he says something, so that he may establish his covenant that he made with your fathers. Get this. If I take that scripture, for example, let's say I'm studying the word, and I take that scripture and I begin to meditate upon it. By the time I start thinking about that, it should change my thinking. Let's say I'm working in a job that is not feeding me properly, that I cannot make ends meet. By the time I take that word, what I should sit down and begin to think is that the Bible says there that God is the one that gives the power to get wealth. Now, it says God gave the power to get wealth to the Israelites who were under a covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Now, I'm under a greater covenant than the covenant that was in the Old Testament. And this greater covenant, I know that the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. Now, I know I'm an Israelite in spirit. Now, if that's, I understand that, then what I should begin to think is, if God gave the Israelites the power to get wealth, and I'm an Israelite, and I'm under a greater covenant now, then it means that God has given me the power to get wealth. And then I'll start thinking to myself, okay, if I have the power to get wealth, what is this power? How do I know this power? Where can I find this power? Now, by beginning to meditate that what is this power? If I have something, you need to get this. Let's assume that I'm a mechanical engineer or a mechanic, and I have the tools to repair a car. I have the tools, but I don't know where the tools are. That is the way it is. I now know that I have the tools. I have the power. But all I need to do now is find what the power is and where they are. Now, how do I find the power? The Bible says that God is the one that gives me the power to get wealth. If the God is the giver, then that's what makes you, I should begin to think that what I need to do is to find the giver, because he knows where and what power he has given me. And by the time I begin to meditate and pray, that Lord, what is this power that you have given me? The power could be an idea. The power could be wisdom. The